Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Blog Talk Radio segment for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is January the 28th, 2016, and tonight's topic is crossing boundaries. What is the proper way to approach someone for marriage in Islam, especially a sister approaching a married man? First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me another day of life, another day to reflect upon my bad deeds and seek tawbah for them. Some people didn't wake up this morning. Some people didn't get the chance to be able to make tawbah and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that, I am thankful that I do get to see another day. I thank Allah for giving me the opportunity to conduct these shows, because I'm not just doing the shows for likes or things like that. I'm here to educate people. But the way that I'm here to educate is to bring an enlightenment to these topics. A lot of people want to address these topics, but they don't know how to address the topics, or they don't have the platform to speak on these things. Again, my subjects and topics for the show come from people who I friend on Facebook, people who I have conversations with. These are issues that are affecting the ummah, and maybe it's not every ummah that it affects, but it definitely is something that affects the ummah in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. That's where I reside at. That's where I live at. I live in Delaware County, which is like 5-10 minutes away from Philadelphia. You know, it's very sad, and it's very pathetic that, you know, sisters have the audacity and try to destroy someone's marriage based on the premise that he can have 4 wives. We need to get something straight here. And what we need to get straight, first and foremost, is that he is someone's husband. Regardless if this brother can afford or have 3 more wives, you should have a level of respect, a level of hire, a level of decency for yourself. These sisters are pathetic, and I'm sick of it. I'm so over this, that you would seek out to purposely destroy someone's marriage based on the premise that he can have 3 more. No matter what you do or how you go about getting him, you feel like it's your right to seek this brother out at any means necessary, whether it's causing his wife grief, whether it's causing him grief, whether it's causing his family grief. You don't care about that. All you go on the premise is that he can have 3 more or he can have 4 wives, and I don't care what you say. I don't care how you say it. I don't care what you do. If I want him, I'm going to have him. That's so disrespectful, and it's so thirst. It's so degrading of yourself. It shows that you can't stand on your own 2 feet and get a man the proper way. And, you know, people can feel how they want about this, but it's disgusting. I'm so over this behavior. This is something that a lot of sisters did to me. Not just with my ex-husband, with the brother I was engaged to. Like, it's sickening. Right now, I'm so angry, because for us to say that we love Allah and that we love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that we love Islam, we sure don't practice it. We sure don't show it. We sure don't act upon the sunnah. We really don't. And I'm like, you know, what makes you think that you have this right to seek a man out in this fashion things that sisters have sent me, and I had these situations my own self, where sisters will inbox me and tell me that, oh, and this is about my ex-husband. Your ex-husband is handsome. I'm trying to be his other wife. Well, sis, at the time, he's not looking for another wife. Well, I'm not looking at what you're telling me. I'm telling you I want to marry your husband. How disrespectful is that? How disrespectful is that? How degrading and demoralizing is that? And see, you use the platform of Islam to base your judgment that you're right in doing what you're doing. You're using Islam as the platform of saying, oh, this man can have four wives, and I know even if his wife objects, he still can do it. It has gotten so far into the fact of the matter that people have told men, and this happened to me, this actually happened to me, I don't care what she says. I don't care what you say. You can have four wives and don't let her tell you no different. I'm willing to give up all my rights to marry you. How degrade, how, you're dumb. You're dumb. I just want you to know, sisters who do that, you're dumb. You have low self-esteem. You have no morals whatsoever to say that you would give up all your rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, you know, are your rights of him maintaining you, him taking care of you, him making sure he is the protector and maintainer over you. You're willing to give up all those rights just to say that you want to be married to this brother and have halal sex, because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to you only wanting to have halal sex with him. And let me explain why I'm saying that. I'm going to explain why I'm saying that. I'm saying that because in the situation that I had, the sister blatantly said, oh, well, you know, I just want to be with him. And I'm like, be with him how? Like, you know, there's different responsibilities of a wife. You know, it's just not, you know, him, you know, spending his days with you and his days with me. You know, there's rights that he have over you. Like, you have to cook when he's with you, and you have to clean his clothes, because if he's not with me, you know, he has clothes that need to be cleaned. You know, there's other things. You know, you have to be attentive to your husband. You have to make sure everything is in order when, you know, your husband comes to you on those. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. Excuse me? You're not doing what? Oh, no, well, you know, I see that you know how to cook and everything, and that, you know, you clean. You can do all that for him. So basically you're telling me that the only reason why you want to marry my husband is so that you can have halal sex with him. So he don't have to pay no bills over there. He don't have to do nothing. You expect me on the nights that he's with you that I'm going to cook a meal for him so that he can take over to your house. I'm going to wash his clothes, and he's going to take them over there to your house, and I would have no problem with that. But where's your sense of responsibility towards him if, you know, you're going to be married to him? Where's your roles and responsibilities at? You know, you're going to be married to our husband. You're not going to be married to my husband. You're going to be married to our husband, but you expect me to clean, wash, cook, and everything for him, and you do nothing but sit pretty and have sex with him? Sis, you done bumped your head. You done bumped your head. If that is what these sisters think, that, you know, the second or third or fourth wife is only responsible for, is pleasing that man and not doing anything else, you already lost. You already lost. You're already a loser in this game. You're already, hang it up and move on. Hang it up and move on. I had a conversation with a sister who is Christian. You know, she's Christian and she's married and everything. And, you know, we've been friends for years. And, you know, I said to the sister, I was like, you know, yo, like, you know, it's different, because she asked me about, like, you know, why do these women approach these men like this? You know, she wanted to know more about the whole marriage process with, you know, being Muslim and how the whole marriage process works with Islam. So, you know, I explained to her and everything like that. And, you know, her being my friend and, you know, confidant, I feel comfortable talking to her about different things. She was like, why do they come at you like that? And she was like, you know, why do they, you know, try to be with your husband like that? She was like, I understand he can have, you know, more than one wife. She was like, but the level of disrespect, she was like, is there a certain process that they have to take, you know, in order to do that? And I was like, absolutely. You know, absolutely, there's a process for that that they should take and how they need to maneuver things. But, you know, these sisters just go off the premise that, you know, he can have more than one wife, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do to get him. I'm not involving my wakil, my wali. I'm not doing none of that. I'm just going to talk to this brother. I'm going to be in his inbox. I'm going to cause fitna for his wife. I'm going to constantly, you know, berate and attack his wife on the issue because this is what I want. Sister, you will never be other winners. And if that sister gets up in the middle of the night for Tahijjah and makes dua against you, trust me, Allah is with the people who are of the oppressed. He answers their duas first. He is with the oppressed. So if you are oppressing this sister, which you are, in her marriage, bad enough, you know, these sisters got to deal with so much other stuff out here in this dunya. Now she has to be, you know, at ends, at wits with a sister who is taking the haram route to obtain her husband. Like, these sisters have no kind of respect whatsoever. It's just so disgusting and nasty and trifling how y'all throw yourselves at these married men. Because at the end of the day, they are married men. They do have a wife. I mean, I have seen situations where the brothers will tell you, I'm not interested in another wife. Don't let your wife tell you, you can't have another wife. And he's like, sis, I'm telling you, I don't want another wife. Well, why is that when you can have four? I'm telling you, I'll give up some of my rights to be with you, you know, because I'm feeling you. Well, sis, what if the brother's not feeling you? Have you ever thought about the fact of the matter that he's just not interested in you? And let me explain something. I'm going to tell you this. And this is just me off the cuff. I don't like a man that is up in every sister's face, always making posts and got a million different sisters commenting on it. All hee-hee and ka-kaying up in every sister's face. Every time a sister make a post, this brother's on that post. Those type of brothers don't interest me. Because it shows me one thing about your character, that you're a womanizer and that you would allow these type of things to take place, that you would encourage these things. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. You know, sisters sit up there and, you know, it's a lot of things. A brother put up a picture of himself and get a million likes. But then, you know, he put a picture up of him and his wife and his family, and only maybe two people like it. Astaghfirullah, y'all should be happy that Allah has enjoined them together, that they're enjoining the good and forbidding the haram, and wish that they and pray that their marriage overcomes this dunya. I had to just take a quick look. I'm looking at my daughter's feet and my grandson, and he just downed this whole bottle. He is so greedy. MashaAllah. You know, I don't know where these kind of behaviors come from, because if, you know, and this is stuff from Jahiliyyah, this is stuff from the dunya, but, you know, it goes to show me that pre-Islam, before you took your shahada, this is the type of time you were on. You know, you were out seeking your friends, boyfriends and stuff like that. You know, one thing about me is I don't entertain a lot of sisters. I don't have sisters sitting up in my house. I don't always be out with a whole bunch of sisters. Matter of fact, I rarely be out with a whole bunch of sisters. I move by myself. I don't need an audience to, you know, orchestrate and show who I am. I don't need to attend every event to show who I am, to show off my bio and all this other stuff. I don't do all that. Most of the times when you see me at events and things of that matter, it's a sister's event because I don't want to be all up in brother's face because, again, I have that level of respect for somebody's husband. I understand that. That's your husband. I respect that. I'm not crossing that boundary. I've had people's husbands friend me. And when I see that, I feel uncomfortable about that. Even though I know that brother can have three more wives, his wife is a friend to me, and even if she approved it, and I've had this situation where a friend of mine who is Muslim, you know, her husband was looking for another wife, and she approved of me marrying her husband, and I said, no, thank you. Like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And, you know, some people say, oh, you know, you shouldn't have turned that down. He could have been a good brother. No, like, you know, I'm just me, and I want to maintain the friendship that I have with my friend. And even though her husband offered that, I appreciated that. You know, I told her to, you know, tell him, you know, thank you, Jezukalokaya, for the offer, but I have to decline. Because, you know, no matter how much we are friends, you would feel some type of way if I'm with your husband. And it's just a matter of fact, women are jealous by nature. Women are jealous by nature. And to know that your friend is now married to your husband, you know, it will make the situation uneasy because I've even seen that. I've seen it where people are in polygyny and, you know, the man and the wives post each other and, you know, they show everything is all happy. But you know what Quadira says in the back of her mind? I know that's not true. I know that's not 100%, you know, correct, you know, I know that you know, it's going to be some trials and errors in that marriage and things like that. They post what they want you to see. They post what they want you to know as far as, oh, look at polygyny, everything is happy, everything is perfect, but we know that it's not. I've seen it happen where the sisters are happy, they're shopping together, they're doing everything together, and then all of a sudden you hear, you know, through the grapevine that there has been this big altercation between the sisters. You know, the husband has divorced one of them or both of them. You know, it's just been a whole bunch of fitna going on there. And, you know, it's crazy that these type of things happen. We know that marriage is not easy. I'll tell you this straight from the door, and I'm not cutting no punches, holding no punches, no nothing. Marriage is very, very hard. Very, very hard. Especially in Islam, for the fact of the matter is that we don't prolong the engagement or the intended period. Like, once a brother places his intentions on you, it's encouraged that we proceed quickly with the marriage. So, you know, for some people, it's less a year. So you really don't get time to get to know that brother because you can't be alone with him. Y'all can't be on the phone talking, busting it up and things like that unless the contract has been completed. Now, we know that once the contract has been signed and the mayor has been paid, you know, the only thing that's, you know, stopping the solidification of the marriage is the nikah. You know, you have to go through that process, but you know, some people do have their contract and stuff signed, and, you know, you're able to speak to them and things like that because the contract has been signed. But, you know, we don't get to know our spouse in detail. So we have to struggle with that. And, you know, I come from the 90s. I took my Shahada in 92. So the way that things are now compared to back then is that you married somebody from the community. We didn't have this Facebook and Instagram and all this other stuff. We didn't have all these avenues or channels. So basically, you were attending classes at the masjid, and you know, like how, you know, I was in a situation in the mix up. You know, everybody's attending the same masjid, and like on Fridays, we would all go out to eat. And we would all brothers and sisters, but the brothers sat with the brothers and the sisters sat with the sisters. But we, from the masjid, we would all go out to eat. We would all go out to the movies, things like that. Like, we all went out together. So we would have, you know, the older brothers and sisters of the Ummah be there, you know, with their husbands and their families. And this is how we did back in the day. And it was fun. It was fun. And it kept, you know, brother such and such said he was interested in sister such and such. So you know that the brother had interest in that sister, but another brother didn't cross that line, or another sister didn't say, okay, well, he can marry both of us. It was no fitna like that back in the day. It was like, okay, that brother's for her, and, you know, this brother's for me. And, you know, we went about it that particular way. We didn't have all this fitna where you feel like you can go on Facebook or Instagram in the DM, you know, as the new song says, it goes down in the DM. Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff goes down in the DM and inbox. And, you know, I just want to understand that, you know, people think that it's cool to do this. And something that, you know, I was raised on, you know, I was raised with morals and respect. Like, you don't go after somebody else's man. And I understand that in Islam we can do that, but the way you get him is the way he going to leave. I was always taught that. So if you go into something, and this applies to Islam as well, you go into something haram, don't ever think anything halal going to come out of that. What if you did get to meet that brother? You don't know everything that that brother has to entail. You don't know him. And see, if he's been married for a while, his wife knows him. She knows him better than you. And so you only see the facade of what his appearance is, or what he appears to post on Facebook, or what he portrays to be. You don't know the real person. Because, again, on social networks, people post what they want you to see. They're not going to post, you know, their downfalls or what they don't have or what they don't got. They're not going to show you that. No real person is going to tell you that. You know, like, one thing, I always say, I don't have nothing more than what Allah blessed me with. I don't want more than what I have. Because you know why? More money, more problems. But again, you seek out these married men. Sisters, if you are seeking out a married man, this is the proper procedure. This is the proper procedure. Before, you know, I do that, I want to open up the line to see if we have any comments, questions, or concerns regarding this topic, crossing boundaries. What is the proper way to approach someone for marriage in Islam, especially a sister approaching a married man? You know, there's a certain way that you should do these things. So if you have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. If you are streaming live, if you want to go to the chat box, you can type in your question or your response, and I will read it while we are on the air. So, you know, talking about the process, and this is something that I had to learn the hard way. You know, I can't say I'm recently divorced. I've been divorced since March of 2015. But, you know, there was a lot of fitna that came in my marriage. And two things that my ex-husband, he wasn't strong in these two areas. He wasn't strong in warding off the inquiry. He wasn't strong in that. He entertained that. So when you entertain that, that opens the door for people to do what they want to do, regardless of the level of respect for you. He entertained that, and he enjoyed that. He enjoyed that attention. Even though I gave him attention, he enjoyed that extra attention like everybody wanted you. Everybody only wanted you, and nothing against him. Everybody wanted you because of who I was, who I am. And again, I don't portray to be nobody great. I work. I have a job. You know, I have a family. I'm not some superstar. I don't live no better than person. But certain characteristics. And somebody who made a fake page, they actually said this to me. Because the reason why I'm chasing after your husband is because I know you wouldn't pick nobody that was trash. And the sister came out and said it. But it was a fake page, so I didn't know who it was. She came out and said it. So I want what you got. And basically, that was her response. I want what you got because I know you wouldn't tolerate nobody that was trash. This is exactly what the sister said to me in the inbox on a fake page. So she felt as though because I chose or I'm married to a certain person, that gives her the right because a man can have more than one wife to keep approaching my husband, to keep approaching him, and then to come back and tell me the conversations they had. Sister, fair law. Fair law. I don't care what conversations you have with him. I don't care what y'all do. That's on you and him, and the law is going to see fit that you're punished for that if you he don't grant you Toba. You're going to have to answer to a law for that. You're going to have to answer to a law for that. I don't have no rights with you. You're disrespectful and ignorant, and it is what it is. You'll never be more than that because of how you went about things. And if he do choose to marry you, you can rock out with it. You can rock out with it. Because, you know, it was, you know, it's just the fitness behind it. Now, this is what I said, and I said this on a couple of calls before about, you know, about polygyny. Yes, women are jealous, and some women are very vindictive in situations, and some women will go the extra mile and do things to try to prevent her husband from taking on another wife. May you fear a law because that's his right if he's able to. Here's the problem that a lot of people have with polygyny. And, you know, I've said this. I've said this and I agree with it because this is how I am. If your husband was giving you all your rights, paying all your bills, he maintained you, protected you, took care of the family, did everything he was supposed to do, and he can afford another wife, you'll be mad if he did. You'll be mad, but you wouldn't be as angry because, hey, I'm getting all my bills paid. I'm getting, you know, my husband doing everything for me. Yeah, I'm going to be mad, but I ain't going to be angry. And you may say, what's the difference between those two? What's the difference between being mad and angry? Well, mad is because, you know, it's in the natural behaviors, in the instincts of a person to be jealous of someone being with their spouse. And that's in American culture. Like, if you came from a culture where polygyny was always practiced, you wouldn't probably feel that way so much. Polygyny is something that's new to African Americans. Like, we are not second, third, or fourth generation Muslims. We are not. Sometimes we are first generation. So our parents are, you know, probably Christian or some other religion. They're not Muslims, so we don't even know that. And most likely here in America, African American, even if your parents were Muslim, they didn't practice polygyny. They practiced monogamy. So you still don't know the effects or how to maneuver through polygyny. So if your husband was paying all your bills, everything was kosher, cool, y'all good, you know, you got a car, you know, your clothes, he's feeding you, you know, y'all, you know, taking time out with the kids, you know, y'all doing everything, and he tells you that he wants another wife and that he's going to seek out another wife, you'll be mad, but you won't be angry. Here's where the angry comes in. The angry comes in when your husband ain't paying no bills,
not trying to do nothing, you struggling being basically a single parent in a home just married to somebody who ain't doing nothing, or, you know, losing their job every other week because they doing something, you know, y'all moving from place to place to place to place, and then this brother says to you, I'm going to take on another wife. You probably turn your head around like the Exorcist. Like, dude, where you think you're doing that at? And I'm not being maintained. I'm struggling taking on all the responsibilities that you are supposed to take on. Now you have an angry wife. You have an angry wife, and these brothers still go out and do that. Because they feel like it's their right to do that. If you can't take care of your household there, what makes you think you will be able to take on another household? This is where we get the problems at. We get the problems where these sisters think it's cool to give up their rights in marriage. Oh, he don't have to take care of me because you just want the big beard and the big penis. That's all you're worried about. You're not worried about anything else than having some halal sex with this man. You're not worried about maintaining a home, being a sufficient wife for this man, you know, striving for a Jannah with this man, trying to obtain the good for the Akhirah for you too and his other wife. You're just there basically to lay on your back and say it was halal. Because this is what's happening in these communities. People are planning for the wedding, but they're not planning for the marriage. I say this all the time. They are planning for the wedding, but they never plan for the marriage. They look at all the pomp and circumstance of saying, oh, I'm married, to update your Facebook status, put on your Instagram, change your biography, and put up there, I'm married to Zolja, to whoever. Zolja to, and his whole name. This is what people look forward to in today's time. They're not looking at, I have to maintain a house. I have to be a good wife. I have to be able to, you know, maintain his house while he's at work or while he's out of the home. I have to, you know, make sure the kids are good and situated and things like that. When he comes home from work, I need to have his food prepared and things like that. So, you know, when he goes back out to the masjid to make salat, you know, everything is cool for him. There's, you know, no real burden on him when he walks through the door. People are not preparing for this. People are so worried about updating their Facebook status to marry. Now I'm married and post all the pictures of the wedding. Here, let me tell you something about that. And, you know, people say, well, who are you to talk about anything? You're not married. I'm not, but I've been married before. And I'm not young. I'm not young. I got married when I was 17 years old. 17 years old, I got married. Let me tell you what Quadira did. Quadira was already working full-time at 17 years old. I've been at my job for 22 years. At the age of 16, I graduated high school. 17, I'm working full-time. I'm going to college full-time. I'm taking care of a baby with my husband, and I'm running a household. Working, going to school, taking care of a child, and had a husband at 17 years old. Here's the thing. Those times definitely were not easy. I will never tell anybody that it was easy. I look back on those times and, like, mashallah, like, I don't even know how. Like, I don't know to this day when I sit back and think of all the things I had to endure with my children's father. It was like, you know, wow, like, we did that? We made it like that? Like, it was shocking. It was shocking to really take the retrospect of back then. I knew what it took to be a wife. Why? Because my mother and father were married. And my mother and father were married until my father passed away 3 years ago. You have to clean. You have to cook. You have to make sure the house is together. You have to make sure yourself is together. These sisters out here today don't know what it takes to be a wife, nevertheless get married. They don't They see the man, they see what you do, and then they want that. But they don't know what that comes with. It's not easy to be married. It's a struggle every single day. And my hat's off to sisters who have to deal with a whole lot. Like, a lot of people don't know. Some people, husbands have mental health issues. Some people, husbands have health issues. You know, people, husbands diabetic or, you know, got asthma, got other, you know, ailments and things that they have to deal with and help their husbands through, you know, dealing with mental health issues. Like, you know, it's not easy dealing with somebody with mental health issues. I'll say this, me and my ex-husband had mental health issues. But it was me who knew how to deal with his issues. Why? Because I took that time out to focus on that because I knew that was something that my husband struggled with. And for me to be a good wife, I need to understand what all this entails with his anxiety. When he would have anxiety attacks. I knew how to calm him down. Why? Because I said, okay, this was kind of strange to me when I seen these things happen. I said, okay, I need to understand these things better, what he's going through. I need to understand these things better. So I need to, you know, ask him, like, what is it that, you know, triggers your anxiety? What happens when this occurs? So I can know how to deal with it. I see that we have a call. I'm going to bring you through. Thank you for joining
Hello.
Me. It means a lot. Hello.
Yes, how are you? My name is Jamila. I'm only going to use my first name because I don't want everybody else to know. But,
okay.
But I was listening to your program, and I just wanted to say that, you know, I was married. I'm not divorced. I'm still married. And it was a couple. The husband was Muslim. The wife at the time was not, and he had some legal problems. So he went out of town and left his wife and two children. And I didn't know at the time. I guess it was a kept secret. She was on heroin, the drug heroin, which is very, very hard to get off the
right.
drug. And he asked a couple of the brothers that were close to him to look out for his wife. And she began to call my house and ask if my husband could come check on a car for her. And we lived about 60 miles, you know, away. And
right.
Could he come to her house? And I explained to her, I said, he should not be alone with you in the house anyway.
Right.
I said, because, you know, when you're not married, it's not proper. You know, and she told
right.
me, don't tell, she'll have whoever she wants. Don't tell her what to do. And I said, well, this is, you know, my husband. But at first, she acted like it was just, he was just doing her, you know, a favor.
Right.
And later on, I found out that he had became involved with her. And one of the things that really disturbed me is he stopped working. He was, you know, self-employed. He stopped doing work, and I had a business. I was paying all the bills. He wasn't paying anything. So really, I was taking care of him, and he began to ask
right.
me for money, and he would spend the money on her, you know. And it just seemed like it was a very situation where I felt used, and I did not like it. And at one time, he said, because he never used drugs, that he thought someone was trying to put something in his food. Now, I don't know whether she did that or not or was trying to drug him so he wouldn't leave. But in any event, he went and he sought out an imam. I don't know if he knew the imam or not, but she told the imam, and he went with her, that her husband deserted her. And her husband was coming back and forth to check on her and the kids. So they got someone to, you know, marry them. Islamically, so that she was supposed to be second wife. And I was told by a ma'am that if you lie and say that you're deserted, and that has to be for a period of time, then that marriage is not valid anyway. You know, if you're lying and scheming and to do something like that. But she just was very, very disrespectful. And matter of fact, he got her a car at an auction, and he had the nerve. I had some license plates I hadn't turned in. He put them on her car, and I got 8 tickets, and I asked him, I said, do you know, because we didn't live in that town, anybody that lives there, because I got 8 tickets. He said, no, I don't know. And I went into to court, and they said, well, you don't have to pay for them, but we're going to take your license. We're going to suspend it until you go to court and explain to the judge. And I couldn't drive, 60 miles away and have to go on a supermarket and not have a license. So I went to the police department and filed a charge against her, but she had moved out of that town. But since then, he was with her for 4 years, and then 12 years, and they broke up, and then she came back about 8 years later, and they teamed up again. This time I found her online, and she had married a brother from overseas the same way, you know, so he could stay in this country. But this time she was in hijab, you know, and everything. Well, her husband never trusted her again, and they never got, you know, back together, you know. So she was basically still doing the same thing, but this time just, you know, pretending to be Muslim. But what I was going to say, there, if a brother has money and his wife agrees and he's paying all the bills, that's one thing. But when you're not paying anything and he's supposed to be supporting you, he have no right to take a second wife in the first place. I mean, they were sitting in the dark, their lights was out, you know, and for a period of time, you know. But she did call me when they broke up. She called to tell me that she quit him. She put him out, and she didn't want him in her apartment anymore, and it wasn't that he wasn't still in love with her. I understand he came home to you, but he only came home to you because I got rid of him. I guess she was trying to boast and everything. But then years later, she teamed up with him again, and I found out about it, and, you know, that was it. And so I just wanted, you know, to let people know that, yes, people do. Some women just get very vengeful, and they will do anything to try to break up the marriage, you know. And I had 4 children, too, that, you know, that needed him at home. And on 2 occasions, he left home for the first time he did for 2 whole weeks. And that was unusual for him to stay out for 2 weeks. We were calling to try to file a missing person. We didn't know what happened. We didn't know if he had a terrible car accident. We didn't know if he was alive or dead. And he told my son, my youngest son, he asked him, why would you do this? And he said, because I was with your mother for 20 years and I needed a break. Now, that's not an excuse for that type of behavior. In fact, it's very inconsiderate. And, you know, he did that twice. And then eventually, like I said, they broke up. But when something like that happens, it's hard to ever have that type of trust in a person like you did before. Because he was sneaky. I mean, just sneaking around and saying that there's nothing happened. And if I'm going to get accused of it, I might as well be doing it. And all types of silly comments, you know.
I thank you for your comment. You know, just putting it out there that, you know, these type of things do happen, and you know, it ultimately ruins a family. It ruins trust. It ruins a lot of things within the community on a whole. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that go on that's not cool to do. You know what I mean? Especially if you know this man is married. You know, it's a way to go about it. So, sister, I do appreciate you joining in and giving a comment. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, I'll keep listening to you.
All right. You know, and some of the things that, you know, I've also experienced was, you know, I was, when I was married, I said, okay, I'm not going to put my husband up. At first, I didn't post any pictures of him and things like that. So one incident that, you know, really troubled me and made me feel some type of way about, you know, move throughout this community in Philadelphia was an instance where me and my ex-husband, we were out at dinner at a restaurant, and right before we left, I just posted, you know, the food that we ate, that we were eating, posted a picture of the food and said, you know, I'm out to dinner with Bae. And, you know, I put the location of the restaurant because I wanted to give, you know, the restaurant some props or whatever, you know, to increase the clientele for them. And as we were leaving out, two sisters that I know showed up at the restaurant, not to buy anything, not to eat anything, just to see my husband. Just to see my husband came to the restaurant as we were leaving out just to see who I was married to. This is the level that these sisters are taking to approach someone's husband. Sisters, this I'm going to make this clear for everybody who's listening. This is the proper way that you approach a married man. Sisters, if you're interested, and if you never have been married before, it's okay for a woman to approach a man. It's no haram in that, because if you have not been married before, if you have been married before, you can take this process. If not, your wakil should be searching for someone for you if you have never been married before. These are the proper procedures according to Islam. So if you have been married before, you can approach a man, but this is how you should do it. This is how you should do it. You should not be addressing his wife in an ignorant or arrogant way. You can either approach the man and say, you know, give him the greeting, say, you know, are you interested in getting married, or are you seeking another wife if you know that he's married? If the brother says no, then you keep it moving. You don't keep berating and berating him to pester him because you want to be with him. You don't do that. If the brother say no, you know, I'm not looking at this time or whatever, you keep it moving. If the brother say, well, you know, I am interested, you know, and I am looking for another wife, the next step with that is you give him your wakil or your wali's information, and you cut the contact right then and there. This is the problem that these sisters aren't doing. You're not, you don't even have a wakil, but you approach a wakil or wali, and you're approaching some man for marriage. How do you feel that that is right for you to conduct the marriage process on your own without your wakil or your wali involved in the process? Who are you? Who are you? Allah ordained and said that we need a wakil and a wali for a reason. And it took me to understand what this reason is. Let me explain to you. When I first got married, my brother wasn't old enough to be my wakil. So I had a wali. And my wali, may Allah continue to preserve Abdul Latif and keep him steadfast on the third earth of Mustaqim. This man treated me like his daughter. But he also knew the boundaries, that I was lawful to marry him because I'm not his real daughter, but he treated me as if I was his daughter. He introduced me to his family. And you know what Qadira did? Qadira respected those boundaries that were set by Islam. I'm not going to cross that. This is my wali. I respect him and his wife. I'm not going to cross those lines. I'm not going to be indignified and be, you know, calling my wakil all times of the night. Inshallah, I'm going to do a whole show on that because that's a whole other fitna that's going on in the community. That's a whole other fitna that's happening in the community, and people don't see no problem with it. So, you know, this man treated me like his daughter, and by him treating me like his daughter, when he went to go interview my ex-husband, my children's father, he grilled him as if I was his daughter, as he should have. These wakils, you're pulling them out the thin air. they his friends or whoever, and now y'all wonder why these marriages don't last. Y'all wonder why these marriages don't last. If I would have listened to my brother, but because I felt like I was his big sister, which I am, and I can tell you what to do, and I can override you because I have been married before. If I would have listened to my brother, I wouldn't have been in the situation that I was. Why? Because a man knows another man. A man knows another man, and he sees what a woman can't. A woman is blinded by all the good. Oh, he loves me. He wants to be with me. He wants to marry me. Oh, he's always, you know, texting me. He's sending me flowers. Oh, he loves me. Men will see right through that. Men will see right through that. And that's the reason why you have a Wakil or a Wale. Not somebody who's your homeboy or your soon-to-be husband's friend. They don't have your best interest at heart. They don't care whether you really get married or not or what's going to happen 5-6 months down the road. They don't care about that. Dignity. Get some kind of respect about you. If the brother tells you that he's not interested in marrying no one else, that he's satisfied with his wife, leave him alone. But no, y'all sisters go on, oh, don't let her tell you you can't have another wife. He's not telling you. She said that he's telling you you don't want another wife. Well, that's your right. That's the sunnah. You should practice the sunnah. Listen here. Let me explain something to you about the sunnah. I'm going to explain something to you real quick. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to Khadijah radiallahu anha for 24 years. He did not remarry anybody for 25 years in between that time. And every person that he married after that, they had some other reason for it, which he says married the widow. He married widows, people who were previously married, except for Aisha, radiallahu anha, except for Aisha. All his other wives were already married to other people. Maybe their husbands were killed in war, died, or whatever like that, but he married them to give them security, to be able to maintain them. He respected his wives. He treated them fairly and equal. You got these brothers out here, they'll marry his sister and talk bad about his first wife to his other wife, and then you wonder why your second wife going out there in the community and telling everybody your business. Because, hey, you do it. So she feel like she got a right to tell you, oh, you know she don't cook, she don't clean, she don't do this. That's not cool. That's not cool at all. Brothers, I'm going to just, you know, this show is basically for the sisters approaching a man for marriage. But this is the proper way to approach a sister for marriage. You ask her, are you already married? If she says no, okay, can I get your Wakil information? That should be the end of conversation right then and there. If you want to bust it up with me, laugh, hee-hee, kiki, all this and that, something ain't right with you. And you know what? I'm going to let you hang yourself. I'm going to let you hang yourself because if you're not willing to take the necessary proper procedures to marry me, I already know what you're about. If you don't say, what's your Wakil or your Wali information, I'm not going to bother with you. Let me tell you why I'm not going to bother with you. Because you don't fear law. You don't adhere to the sunnah. Because the sunnah is what I just said that practice is. We can tiptoe, we can sugarcoat this stuff all day long and go in and say how we feel about it and this and that, and you get in your feelings and you want to bring Jahiliyyah into Islam. Y'all go right ahead, because at the end of the day, Islam will remain perfect, and it's Muslims that are completely at fault for this. I'm going to open up the line again in case anybody has a comment, question, or concern. You can call in at 805-727-7013. And press 1, and I'll take your response. I allotted a whole bunch of time for this, so, you know, I thought, you know, I see it's a lot of people who joined the call. I thought more people would have comments or anything on the show, but, you know, if you don't, that's fine. I can keep on talking for another 15 minutes. Then that I want to know that these sisters who seek to keep causing fitna in someone's marriage? I mean, what is your purpose? What is your reason behind it? Like, do you think your marriage is going to be peaceful and perfect? No, Allah is going to test you. Allah is definitely going to test you. You know, like I always was told, you know, from my elders and stuff, same way you got him, the same way he going to leave you. I mean, you can think it's a joke. You can think it's a game. You know, you can keep saying fear of Allah, sister, he can have more than four. I mean, he can have four wives, this and that. You can keep on, you know, doing that. But what happens when he becomes your husband? What happens then? I see I got somebody on the line. Let me put you through. Thank you for joining Religion Means Alive.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just want to say first, I want to thank you for doing this show because it really hits home for me as a new wife. And as soon as the Ummah found out I was married, sisters was flocking like birds on bread. I mean, I'm trying to tell you, and I'm like, where is this? What's going on? Because I'm thinking, sister, should fear Allah, you know.
Right.
I mean, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a co-wife. Alhamdulillah, I love my co-wife. I ain't going to say there ain't going to never be no drama because
right.
I'm certain that it is because, like you said earlier, we are prone to have that jealous streak in us, you
right.
know. So I already know because I already felt the wave through my body already, so I already know. And as my husband, he just reminds me of the mothers of Islam, and that's his
right.
job, like, you know, to contain us, you know, to let us
right.
know, look, this is normal feeling, alhamdulillah, you nap is natural. But as sisters, we should be mindful of how we carry ourselves.
Right.
We should be mindful of that because what you're doing is, and this is just how I feel because this is so fresh for me.
Right, right.
Sisters are bringing dunya into this deen. And
yep.
and I'm going to be honest with you. The way I look at it is if you come at my zoj in this manner, when you was in a dunya, you must have been a side piece. So you comfortable with this life.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You're comfortable with this life. You're comfortable with the disrespect of self. You're comfortable
right.
with the disrespect of your fellow sisters. You're comfortable
right.
with this life. So this is an issue within yourself.
Right.
You know,
yep,
my husband should not have to feel, because they already got their own weaknesses. And just like
right,
it says, just like it says, you know, we tempt them, and that's how we cover, so that we don't have to give them nothing to look at. What's the point of wearing
right.
hijab if you're still naked on your with your behavior?
Right. Absolutely.
What's the point? You know, I'm trying to tell
Absolutely.
You. I mean, sisters, like, I mean, I just, I'm just so taken back. I'm so shocked, and I ain't even going to hold you. It makes me feel like I want to knock some heads.
Like,
we don't
want to do that. We don't want to do that.
I ain't going to do that. But I'm just saying, like, yo, hold up. You disrespect me. I don't mind him taking a third. I don't even mind him taking a fourth. But what he will not do is take no ratchet sister and bring her into our marriage. Because we're supposed
right.
to be a unit. We're supposed to be a family. And if you coming at him incorrectly, then you wrong. And the way that I got my husband, I mean, let me just say this, you know, he would have never known. I asked him, I said, Habibi, did you ever know that I was interested in you? He says, never. And honestly, I would have never known that he was interested in me. He went straight to my wakil.
Right.
You know, I'm interested in, I'm not going to say my name.
Right.
I'm interested in this sister. Because
right.
I know you know who I am.
Right, I
you
do.
Know,
I
I'm
do.
Interested. I'm interested in this sister. You know,
right.
He didn't know nothing. Well, he was hoping that I would be like okay, because he didn't
right,
know.
Right.
He didn't know that I was making dua for him, or a brother in with his character. He would have never known that because I conducted myself like a Muslima.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and that's what these sisters need to do. They need to fear their Lord. They need to remember that there's an angel that's sitting there right beside them when they left and they write and they recording everything that they do. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seer, the all-hear of everything. And he knows all that's in your heart. And he knows your intentions.
No. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
And let me keep it real gully with you and all the sisters that's listening. You better watch what sisters' husbands you do approach, because there might be a sister's husband, a sister that don't have as much hayat as me and Sister Kadira,
right?
And other sisters,
right?
And you might catch
right.
one
Absolutely.
Real quick.
Absolutely.
It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. You don't want, we're supposed to broadcast our marriage. We're supposed to be a
Absolutely.
Joyous thing, and we don't want to.
I know I won't.
I was like, I don't want to tell nobody, I want to announce that I'm married to you. He like, change your name. No. Because as soon as they knew that we was married, I'm trying to tell you, Wallahi, it was like birds on bread, girl.
I know.
They was thirsty, dehydrated. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm here.
It was like they was dehydrated. They've been in the Sahara Desert for 25 days.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
I definitely know that. I know. And that's some of the problems that we go through in this Ummah. And, you know, I think it just comes from not only the community, but, you know, the imams, like, you know, and
I agree.
I'm gonna fault the men a little bit, because, you know, men like that attention. They do. Like, it really makes them feel like men when you got a whole bunch of women chasing after you. I mean, that would make, you know, especially men who are a little bit more up in age, that's exciting for them to have somebody chase after them. But they also got to remember that you got a wife, you got either a wife or wives at home that, you know, are your wives, and you have to have that level of respect to control them and say, look, I'm married. Like, you know, back off. I don't like all that attention or whatever like that. Like, you have to be strong, and you really have to have the fear of a law to, you know, push these sisters back. Because if not, slowly slip into something that you don't want to be into.
What the brothers need to realize, they need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said woman is a fitna for men.
Absolutely.
And they need to remember that, you know what, let me lower my gaze. And it goes back to that. You know, if you're lowering your gaze, I remember I read in a book, subhanAllah, I don't remember the name of the book, Istighfarullah, may Allah forgive me for that. But I remember when it says something like, when you lower your gaze in salat, you'll lower your gaze in everything and about your life.
Right.
You know, you got to lower your gaze. When you're talking to a woman, these brothers want to be talking to women all in their faces, a smile, that smile, they come.
Right.
You know, wearing these tight abayas that show their figure.
Right. Yep.
What is that? Where we do that at? What is that?
Look, I don't even know. I can't even tell you where that come from, because, like I said, I don't come from that kind of community where it's that kind of thirstiness. And, you know, like the imams and them need to speak up on this. And a lot of these need to start classes back on higher and how to conduct yourself as a Muslima. You know what I mean? Like, you don't berate a brother if he tell you, I'm not interested in marrying nobody, or I'm not interested in getting married. You don't keep berating him, telling you, oh, don't let her tell you what you can't do. And he's like, sister, I'm telling you what I don't want to do. And, you know, you just forcefully keep putting yourself on him. I mean, this type of stuff, I never seen this stuff happen except for in the last 5 years in the community. Like, in the last 5 years, this community has just went to hell in a handbasket. Like, it's just trifling. I don't even want to tell people, like, you know, brothers who approach me for marriage, they be like, you from Philly? I'm like, no. And I'm not lying about that, because I don't live in Philadelphia. But, you know, I mean, it's brothers don't even want to be associated with no sisters that's
from
Philadelphia.
And this is true. This is true. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to keep it real 100 with you. Every sister that flocked to my husband since I've been married to him, they all had, I believe you, sisters. I am looking you up. I'm all in your Facebook. Where you from? And believe me, you're about to get an inbox. Back up. They all from Philly. They all from Philly. It ain't no New York, Atlanta, Jersey. They all from Philadelphia. All lives in Philadelphia, at Philadelphia. This is where I'm at in Philadelphia. You know? Come on. Like, really, that's why Philadelphia, and believe me, I was raised here. This is not my home. I will never claim this place. I've been to different umas, all from different states, and I'm going to tell you, wallahi, sisters don't conduct themselves in this manner. The sisters don't conduct themselves in this manner. Philadelphia has a reputation of having a big umma. I've heard somebody say Philadelphia like little Mecca, but Philadelphia has no, they have no taqwa.
None whatsoever.
These people from all the way across the street. There's a brother came and he lived in Nigeria. He said nothing but horrible things about sisters from Philadelphia.
Yep.
That should say something. They put a bad taste in your mouth. And I think that every sister here should look at themselves. If you can't stand in front of a lost depend on what the things and say, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with me with this action right here? Will he be pleased with me with this action right here?
Right.
And if you don't think so, yo, back up.
Right. Well, sister, I thank you so much for joining the call. I got somebody else who wants to speak. So
I told you I wasn't going to call, but I had to come home with
that. I know you couldn't. I appreciate you calling, and I'm going to just put you back on mute, okay?
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for joining me.
This
means a lot.
How you doing, sister?
Alhamdulillah.
My name is Yakin. I'm going to stop right there. Sister, you were speaking about the brothers and things that's going on within the masjid. And I'm going to say that these days and times are very trying. Because I see and I watch. And I watch brothers pass sisters around like you pass around a coat. I watched this. I spoke out against this. I was told that, brother, she needs assistance. Alhamdulillah. If that's the intention, then that's the intention. And Allah knows best. But from the outlooks of it, it is literally marrying sisters for a certain amount of time. Some brothers get a sister to Iddah. Most of them don't even do that. And the next thing you know, she's married to the next brother. Now, when you see this, oh, you all right? When you see this going on, it's like what you said. Well, sister, where is your dignity? Where is your moral character? Whose example are you following? Are you following the mother of the believers, radiallahu anha? Are you following, where you're drawing your wealth from? I mean, where are you going to, I mean, what well are you drawing your knowledge from? Because this is not Islam.
Absolutely.
This is not Islam. Now, when we talk about sisters from Philly, I've come to realize that the problem, it's not even a problem, it's, because I'm an older guy. So I've been around Islam majority of my life.
Okay.
And, you know, my grandfather's Muslim, my father's Muslim. I grew up in a home where polygamy was practiced, so I understand. My father has 11 sons, 8 daughters.
Mashallah.
And he took care of all of us. Alhamdulillah. So I understand. I've seen it work. I've seen the downside of it, and I've seen the plus side of it. I lived through it. And I got a B and I got 3. When I got rewarded, I got rewarded thrice. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was coming to me. Because when I got in trouble, my mother beat me, then my next mother beat me, then my next mother beat me. So it's like, you know, so I understand it. And it was a beautiful thing. I mean, it molds you.
Right.
It makes you understand, and it gives you a certain respect for women.
Right.
And that's the problem with the Ummah today. We are so caught up in wanting to dominate and control, and that's not the way it is. Because the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha used to be kind of feisty. She used to do little certain things to him, and we watch how he handled it.
Right.
We would understand how to deal with our women. Aisha was feisty.
Right,
Lord. Right.
Oh, yeah.
She was feisty.
Oh, yes.
She was
yes,
very feisty.
Yes.
And she always tried them. She tried them because that's what women do. And you have to have the patience. And you have to have the wisdom and the knowledge how to smooth things over. Will a woman make you angry? Of course. But it's what you do with the anger. And this, I mean, and sisters nowadays are coming into Islam for the brothers.
Yep.
So, of course, it's not going to be no taqwa. Because you didn't come to Islam, fizbillah. You think you came to Islam, fizibli akhi. Because this brother, I don't know, maybe his beard shine a little bit. You like the way he wears kufi, his jalabis,
right.
Fitting him. Whatever reason it is, it's not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you come and then you bring your baggage. Because your baggage have to come with you. Because you never discarded it, ever in your life.
Right.
Even when you took shahada.
Right. Right, absolutely. I agree with everything you're saying, brother. I agree with everything you're saying. I absolutely agree. You know, like I said, I came into Islam in the early 90s, but my family was Muslim. I was raised Christian, but, you know, I always was around my aunts and uncles who were Muslim. I got that. And also, like I said, I come from a two-parent home. My mother and father were married. So, I knew what it was like to grow up in a home, have aunts and uncles who are married, you know, like everybody's married in the family and things like that. So that's what I wanted for myself, and that's what I wanted for my children, you know, for all of us to, you know, follow what's correct. And, you know, these people,
right.
I don't know what kind of upbringing they had, but like I tell a lot of people, I'm really serious. Like, I don't know what kind of upbringing. Like, I mean, even wolves raise their offspring better than how some of these people are raised. And, you know, just the tack and the coof that they should have, they don't have it. And it's
right.
Like it's bewildering to see how women. And, you know, I used to be shocked at men's behavior, but to see how the women's behavior is very disheartening to me, to see how you try to befriend a sister just to get next to her husband, because that has been done to me as well. But as I said, I'm a little bit smarter because I'm a little bit older than, you know, I'm not in my 30s and I'm not in my 20s. So I'm a
right.
little bit smarter, so I can see these things coming about, like, oh, you know, I'm not a sister who entertains a whole bunch of sisters at my home and always have my friends around me. You know, if I have an event at my home or if I'm doing something, then, you know, I'll have sisters around. I'll occasionally talk to different sisters. But, you know, to have someone all up in my house and all of a sudden wanting to hang out with me and want to do everything with me, I catch on quick.
Right.
Like, something's not right about that. Like, all of a sudden
right.
you want to, oh, what you making for dinner? And, oh, can I come over and get some and stuff like that? Like, you know, it's bewildering. And then, you know, I had started teaching a basic Islamic class, and it was like all the sisters signed up. Y'all only want to come over here because y'all think my husband's home. But, see, I had something for them. My husband was not home when I used to conduct classes. So y'all will never see him. Like, y'all not going to see him.
Wow.
Oh, y'all think he's going to be walking back and forth through the house so y'all can see him. All the sisters showed up. But then I knew what their intentions was because, like, 2 weeks later, they all dropped out the class. Because now you're mad you're not seeing my husband walking around my house. Y'all know that y'all not going to have access to him and really see who I'm married to. So now y'all like, oh, I don't even want to be bothered with that. See, Allah knows your intentions, but see, Allah is the best of planners, and he let me plan right along with y'all. He let me plan right along with y'all and gave me that hikmah
to know what y'all trying to do. And, you know, not saying that I didn't want my husband to have another wife. He just wasn't in a situation to have another wife. And I'm not going to condone that foolishness. And I'm not going to let some sister try to convince me and try to convince him that she knows better than what a law said or rights are. I'm not going to do that.
It's etiquette to it.
You know,
regardless
what I mean?
Of how you look
exactly.
at it. Even it
exactly.
And taking on a wife is etiquette, and taking on a co-wife, it's all etiquette. And the concept has been laid out. The way has been paved. The perfection has been perfected. Anything else is an innovation. And brothers, and I tell this to brothers a lot, because brothers, like you say, you made a statement, and I laughed when you said it. Brothers like to be chased. They like
they
it. They love it. It's a masculine thing. It's like, they want me.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. Now, at the end of the day, okay, they want you. But what does that entail? Did that...
Right.
Do they want you at the cost of your Islam? Or their Islam? Is it worth that? Is it worth dying outside of the folds of Islam? No.
Yep.
It can never be that. And if it ever comes to that, then I definitely don't want to be around you. Because
absolutely.
Because you have chosen the road to destruction. In the end,
absolutely.
When it really counts. So, sister, I thank you, sister, for what you do. Alhamdulillah. Keep doing what you're doing, sister. I'll be talking to you
Inshallah.
On Facebook here or there. Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
And I see, and I understand, sister. I understand that, you know, when I first encountered you, I said, wow. But then I fell back and I started listening to what you were saying, and you've been hitting them in the head the whole time.
Thank you.
Because we have people out here that shoot from the hip. They don't want to hit. They don't want no dalil. They don't want dalil.
Oh, absolutely.
And then when you give them the dalil, it's like you become the enemy.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. I agree with that. Well, I thank you, brother, for joining and giving your input, because that was very valuable information that you shared with us. And, you know, it's good to hear from the men. I love when the brothers join in the call, because, you know, a lot of times, the sisters will disagree with me, but then when the brothers come on and they agree with what I say, the sisters be like, well, dang, you know, the brothers agreeing with her. Like, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. Like, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, like you said, I shoot from the hip. I give it to you. I'm not sugarcoating it. It's no bakery.
Right.
I state it how it is. You may not like the way it is, but this is what it is. And there's no getting around.
Inshallah, I won't be wrong.
Inshallah, I appreciate you, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam. You know, it's very disheartening when, you know, you have to constantly battle sisters to stay away from your husband. No wife, she already has enough stuff to tackle. Now she has to worry about, you know, all these people attacking her, trying to get to her husband, trying to cause fitna in her marriage, to dissolve the marriage, and just, you know, just stirring the pot to bring the muck up from the bottom of the pot. You know what I mean? Like, let it settle. Be happy. Be happy, genuinely happy that a sister does not have to commit fornication. Be happy that a brother does not have to commit fornication, that they chose to honor what Allah set forth and they enjoined in marriage so that they don't have to commit these haram acts. But no, y'all so busy tearing these brothers and sisters down. It's trifling and it's disgusting. I mean, we definitely have to do better with this stuff. I mean, you know, the same thing happened with the brother who I was intended to. Soon as we put up that we was intended to each other, over 200 people, we had three mutual friends. After we announced our engagement, all of a sudden, 200 mutual friends. He didn't know, because he's not from America. He didn't know what the deal was, how these sisters were just basically like sharks in the water waiting for, you know, him to drop in the water so they can grab him up. I mean, when is it about me that you want everything that I have? How about you pray to Allah to get what I have? Because everything that I have, did not come easy to me. You don't know my story. You don't know my journey. You don't know what I had to go through in life to have what I have. Never envy someone for what they have because you don't know what they had to go through to get it. All I can do now at this point in time is make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal and ask that he ease the hearts of, you know, the Muslims, that we are granted peace within ourselves, and that, you know, we honestly seek out a zawj who will be beneficial to us. And not just beneficial in as far as materialistic things, that he can teach us with knowledge. He can safeguard us. He can protect us. He can, you know, he can help us through whatever trials and tribulations that may be, you know, within ourselves, that he can assist with these things. But these are not the things that Muslims look for. They look for, oh, where he drives, beard, look at his robe, look at his izar, oh, he got his waves on fleek, okay, he pushing them nice shoes, okay, he got a nice smile, but you're not looking at anything else. What can he teach you? What can he help you be a better Muslima at? Like, again, I said, I don't like a brother who everybody knows. I don't like a brother like that. I don't like a brother who's up in every sister's face. I don't want a brother like that. I want somebody who's not known, who people don't know, because it's enough fitna, because I do the radio show, I cater, I do other things, you know. He's going to have enough problems, but one thing for sure and two things for certain, I can say this, I know this about myself, I don't entertain it. If I'm married to somebody, I don't entertain brothers still trying to approach me, which is totally disrespectful when you know a sister is married. That's a whole nother show. Brothers seeking out sisters who you already know she's married. Now, that's, you talk about disrespect. That's a whole nother level of disrespect that this ummah is encountering, and nobody chooses to speak on these types of topics. I'm a nobody. I'm not a scholar of Islam. I don't know everything. I don't try to portray that I know everything, but I know the topics that hurt this ummah. I know the top. I'm talking about things that I see with my own two eyes that occur within this ummah. And let's be clear, these challenges aren't just in the African-American Muslim community in Philadelphia. This happens all over the world. You may say, oh, I don't believe it. Let me tell you something. I watched a video on YouTube about this man who had 84 children. He had 84 children. And this is how I know this happens in all over the world. Muslim brother, 84 children. Over his lifetime, he had been married 14 times. That goes to show you that multiple marriage happens in other communities. The problem is, here, I'm going to let y'all reflect, and I'm going to open this up for you, and then I'm going to get ready to conclude this call because we've been talking for a minute, unless somebody else got a comment or question, because I see a couple people online who haven't spoke yet. African-American people are very passionate people. We're very vocalistic. We're very to the forefront with things. Other cultures and other communities aren't so much so. So, like, you know, a man beating his wife, or a brother, you know, being a womanizer. A lot of cultures, you know, pacify that. African-American community, especially here in Philadelphia, oh, we're going to speak on that. We're going to let you know who the brother is. We're going to tell you all about him. We're going to dig in his gut about everything. We're going to let everybody know. African-American people are like that. This is why we know more about it. It's not that it doesn't happen in other communities, because it absolutely does. It absolutely does. If this man had been married over 14 times in his entire life and had 84 kids, that goes to show you that he didn't divorce some wives. He didn't divorce some. Because how did he have 14 wives over his whole lifetime? That opened my eyes up to say, like, okay, yeah, this does happen in other communities. We just don't hear about it because they're not as vocal with their opinions and their situations. They don't put it out there for people to see. They keep it hidden. You know, this opened up a lot of things for me, and this allowed me to, you know, speak on some things that are plaguing the African American community here, you know, here in Philadelphia. And it's we got to get together. We got to get it together, and we got to change our ways, not just for ourselves, to set a better example with for Islam. Because people look at Muslims here and they look at us like a joke. You know, foreigners don't even think that, you know, African Americans in Philadelphia are Muslim. They don't consider you Muslims. That's why they treat you the way they do. Because not because you don't believe in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not that you don't believe, it's because you don't implement what it states. You're a blind follower. Basically, you look like a Muslim on the outside, but your whole inside is screaming Jahiliyyah. We got to get it together, people. We got to get it together, not just for ourselves, but for our children and the generations to come, because if not, this whole attitude that we have is not going to lead to nowhere but more failure. I thank everybody tonight for joining the call. Again, like I said, when I pick topics, I pick the Jessamy. You know, me and a sister was chatting about this, and, you know, she said this was something that was plaguing her. And I said, this is something that plagued me. So, okay, this is a good topic. I know people want to hear about this. So I spoke on it. Again, if you have a topic or something you want to talk about on the show, feel free to contact me. You know, you can reach me, 610-836-2120. That's my cell phone number. That's my business cell phone number. You can leave me a text message, a voicemail. You know, you can tell me what's going on, what you want me to talk about. If you got an event or something going on in your community, feel free to reach out to me. I'll be more than willing to air that on the show. I have a couple of flyers that I need to give shout-outs on, different things that's happening in the community. I'll take a chance to go look at my event list on Facebook to see what upcoming events are so I can give shout-outs for those upcoming events, different things that are happening here in the community in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia area. I'll shout those out. Inshallah, probably Saturday night I'll do that. If you want to send me an email or something, if you want to do an advertisement on the show, we're always looking to grow our family here at Religion Means a Lot. We have dedicated listeners that listen to our show. We are listened to from people all over the world, and you may say all over the world, like, come on, you're lying about that. No, I'm not lying. If you go to my page, Religion Means a Lot, I put screenshots. When people say, oh, I listen to your show and you're from out the country, I screenshot your message with your permission, and I put it on my page so people can see that people in Nigeria, Africa, I have people in Morocco, I have people in England, I have people in Egypt, I have people in Australia listening to the show. Now, they might not be dialed in right now to the show, but what I do is I put the show out there and I keep the link in the archives so people can always go back and listen to the show. I get stats on that. Over 10,000 people listening to this show throughout the week, various shows that we do. Those are our stats. Those stats are real. We have over 10,000 people a week listening to various shows on Religion Means a Lot. I do shows. EBM Alfred do shows. He has other people doing shows throughout the week. So we have a network of people who are listening to our shows. Me, I got the show for the simple reason that, like the brother said, I shoot from the hip. I don't sugarcoat stuff. I'm going to talk about the topics that are touching, that are unnerving, that are plaguing people, that people want to talk about, but they just don't have an outlet to talk about them to. So that's the platform here. We keep it real. We keep it open. I don't, you know, it's me. It's real. It's live. This is how I do. This is how I do. If you want to reach me, I'm on all social networks, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Path, Google Talk. Again, you can inbox me, DM me, anything that you want to talk about on the show. If you want to join the show, we're looking to add more people to the show to be on the Religion Means a Lot platform. So if you have a certain genre of something that you want to talk about, get with me. Get with me. I'm here. This is what I do. I'm trying to get more people to come in on the show. It doesn't necessarily have to be religion. You know, a lot of people think, oh, religion means a lot. You just talk about religion. No, it doesn't have to be about religion. It can be about different things, politics that you want to talk about, anything like that. We can offer you that format, that platform here on Religion Means a Lot. So I appreciate everybody joining tonight. I thank you for taking the time out to join the show. Stay tuned for future shows and listenings, inshallah. This is your host, Fadira Aisha Muhammad, on Religion Means a Lot. Tonight's topic was crossing boundaries. What is the proper way to approach someone for marriage in Islam, especially a sister approaching a married man? Today's date is January 28, 2016. I appreciate you for joining. Assalamu alaikum, and have a great evening.